you guys. What's going on? It's Sunday. Everybody knows that, probably.
Yeah, it's Sunday. We're doing Top Gun 2.
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, we finally finished. Well, we finished watching it last night.
Yeah, because it was free. It was free.
Well, for if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it on there.
Yeah.
I do kind of wish we had seen this in the theater. Like, I'm not going to cry about it or anything like that, but... because I kind of feel like we watched half of it on Thursday night, I feel like. And then we watched the rest of it last night, because it's kind of long. It's like 2.5 hours or whatever. And I will say I liked the second half a lot better. Like, once it got into all the aerial shit and, like, all the dogfighting and, like, the actual mission and everything, that was, like, badass. I really liked that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a good flick.
Yeah, yeah.
The quality's top-notch. Tom Cruise does some really good acting in it. It is nostalgic.
Yeah.
Right? It is a nostalgic movie, and they're trying to bring back kind of like that military action drama kind of segment, that kind of movie that they used to have back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically what they're doing. That, what do you call it? A genre. Yeah. It's kind of like that genre. I think it succeeded.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, this shit was a fucking blowout at the box office. And I can see why. It's traditional. There's nothing fancy about the storytelling in this. It's...
yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
I almost kind of want to say basic bitch. But that's the way this genre was.
Yeah.
So I think that that was the right call, not to get real artistic with this. Real good flying action sequences. And then, you know, Maverick gets shot down. I think he gets shot down twice, didn't he? Airplanes and fucking steals enemy airplanes. So, but it's pretty cool.
Carryover from the Mission Impossible movies, I feel like. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if you know this, but this was directed by Joseph Kaczynski.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the same guy that directed Oblivion.
Okay,
which
yeah.
was the like other Tom Cruise movie. And he also did Tron Legacy, which I haven't seen, but everybody said that was really
good.
That's
the second one, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
That was like I didn't see it.
It was pretty good, yeah. And it's got Jennifer Connelly in it. She's fine as fuck, man. She's looking fine.
Man, she still looks great.
Yeah.
She's my age, I think.
Yep.
Or she might be a year older. I think she's a year older than I am.
She was always fine.
Yeah, she was.
My whole life, that girl was fine.
Yeah. And she still is. Yeah, she looks fantastic in this.
I remember how gorgeous she was in The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
She's probably in her 20s, you know? And really, her beauty hasn't faded. She's just a...
Who does not love Jennifer Connelly? She has got to be... She is like one of the most beautiful women on earth.
She's a cougar.
She still is, even though she's... Yeah. I think she's 51, because like I said, I'm pretty sure she's about my age.
She was great in Alita Battle Angel, too. Another one of my favorite movies.
The interesting thing, while I was watching... Because I haven't seen the original Top Gun in a long time. Because, like I said, I don't, you know, it's fine. It's a fine movie, the original one from 86. But it's like, I don't love it or anything like that. But I was wondering, because in Top Gun Maverick, there's like, they have to have the romantic side plot. Because that's just what you did, like, in 80s blockbusters. And they're kind of trying to homage that a little bit while also updating it. But, so she's like the love interest. And they're talking, like, her and Tom Cruise's character, Maverick, are talking like they had... like this big long history, and I was just kind of like, well, was she even referenced in the first movie? So I looked it up, and she wasn't actually in the first movie, obviously, because in 1986 I think Jennifer Connelly was only about 16 years old, or no, like I said, she was probably the same age as me, so I was 14, so she was probably 15, so yeah, that would have been weird. But her character Penny was mentioned, as I think that Goose says something like some offhand comment to Maverick that, that Admiral's daughter that you got with or whatever. So that's who, so they actually did like take an offhand comment from the first movie and like made her an actual character. Hmm. So I thought that was kind of cool that they did that, because I was like, now are we just pulling this out of our butts or what? Because it's been a while since I've seen the original. But I like that they kind of had that continuity with it. Because I guess they didn't, I mean, Kelly McGillis is still around, but I guess they didn't ask her to be in the movie. They didn't ask Meg Ryan to be in the movie either. Did they say in this movie that Goose's wife, who Meg Ryan played in the original, that she had died?
I didn't catch any of that.
Because I was watching like another, like a video essay about this, and they said something about, they mentioned that she had died like in the interim between the two movies. And I'm like, I don't remember hearing that, but it's like, it's possible I could have missed it.
The movie's kind of typical of the genre. where it's an enjoyable watch, even if you're not really paying close attention, you can just kind of cruise through it because it's got a good soundtrack.
You said cruise through it.
Yeah, and that's something. Cruise through it. It's got a good something. It's got a good soundtrack and a good score, and just fun shit happens, you know, and dudes fighting and dudes being over the top competitive and fucking, which it's kind of bullshit, you know what I mean? But that's just that was the genre of this.
But that
kind
was
of
and that was the way the original that's was the too. Original so they were was. Kind of trying to like keep it the same yeah. tone, and I think they were yeah. largely successful at doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, try to keep the fucking Top Gun pilots as dicks. You know that they were dicks, basically.
You know what's hilarious? Yeah. You know the guy that plays like you know the douche canoe in this yeah. Hangman, I think yeah. is his name. And when they gave him the script, he almost didn't want to do it because he said, you know, oh, I'm just going to be there to be the quote unquote dick garnish.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. Jenny loves dick garnish.
It just, well, it's funny because it made me just think of like a penis with like a little piece of like fucking, with a little piece of, what is that shit called?
Just waiting for you to buy me some dick garnish.
Some dick garnish. Let me get you a little what shit. The fuck is that shit called? That, little, that, I don't know. That green shit. That you put on like this.
Oh,
a
parsley.
Garnish. Parsley, thank you. Why can't yeah. I could not. I'm, oh my God, I have mad cow, seriously. I can't like think of
only
like,
a
the
fucking woman
words.
Would think of that, man, a dick and parsley.
Well, what? That's the first thing okay. I thought of with dick garnish. Okay. I thought of just like with all a right. you know, a little piece of parsley like sticking yeah. out the end. That's what I thought of when he said
this
that.
Is some crazy shit. Stop putting that mental imagery in there.
Too late. The
yeah. I thought the movie was good.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Like, I yeah. can see how...
Like a Mission Impossible kind of movie. They
right.
got this, and there's a lot of ripping off of fucking Star Wars and the fucking...
Oh, my God. That so gave me, like, destroying the Death Star
and going down in the trench and dropping the bomb right in the hole. It's
in
gotta
a little
be agony.
Hole, yeah.
And, hey, you know, fucking... he's turned off his targeting computer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
okay, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we were making, like, Star Wars.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. And I know that shit was on...
jokes like
I know that thing. Shit was on purpose. But it was good, you know? Loosen up. They're coming in behind me. Thanks, Wedge.
He got Porkins.
Yeah. They came from behind.
But yeah, so that's why. I'm not shitting on the movie. I'm just saying. It's like, I thought yeah. that was funny. Because like the second they laid out the whole mission that they have to do, mm. I was just kind of like, that's Star Wars. They're essentially destroying the,
yeah.
the Death Star is what they're doing there.
Yeah, and fucking... Tom Cruise. I'm just going to call him Tom Cruise because that's yeah. who he is. He plays himself in all of his movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
He has to fight a fucking enemy ace. They never do say what country this is. It's just country.
Yeah, they didn't want to piss anybody off, I guess.
It's some kind of fucking Slavic country. So it's probably Russia or something like Russia. But the jets look like MiGs, real high-tech MiGs and shit.
But didn't he shoot down some MiGs in the first movie? So maybe that's why they're
yeah.
like... Or
yeah.
is that a different movie?
There's so many countries is. Had MiGs.
That's
the
true.
The Soviet Union sold those things to everybody. You even had some allied countries like in South America that had MiGs, even though they were friends of ours. So it didn't necessarily... A MiG wasn't necessarily enemy.
Can I say... Like, I didn't know... I had kind of heard like some of the... shit about like how they made this movie and everything like that, because this took a while to do. I guess they were even talking about doing a sequel to Top Gun way the fuck back in the 90s, and Tom Cruise is like, nah man, we don't need to do that. But then like they started talking about it even more, and they were gonna get Tony Scott back to do it, but you know, he sadly committed suicide in what, 2012, I want to say. So
oh,
it kind of got yeah he was the guy that directed, he's Ridley Scott's brother.
Oh yeah,
he was
yeah.
the guy that directed the original one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so they wanted him on board, but, you know, that kind of put a kibosh on that whole situation. So they brought in Joseph Kosinski after. Because, like I said, you know, he had worked with Tom Cruise on Oblivion, which is also a good movie if you haven't seen it. One of the better ones that Tom Cruise has been in. Like I said, if, you know, if you've been around here for a while, you guys know. I'm not the hugest fan of Tom Cruise. I think he's kind of like an arrogant douche, and also that whole Scientology thing really kind of like...
I'm going to defend Tom.
Puts a damn... Well, I know you
We're
are,
in
but...
We're in the short man mafia.
But... But I am going to say that as annoying as he probably is to deal with in real life, when he makes a movie, he fucking commits and
yeah.
he is going to like fucking make that the best possible movie he can make it.
Yeah.
And that flies for this movie like 100,000%. Because I was thinking the whole time I was watching the jet fighting sequences, like where they were flying in the fucking shit, I was like... that can't be CGI. That does not look like CGI. And indeed, it is not. They did actually put those fucking actors in fighter jets.
Yeah.
They're not flying them, obviously. No. But they what they did was they would have it so that the person flying, like the pilot, was kind of in the front, and then they would put the other ones in the back, and then they would have the controls for the camera. So they were essentially filming themselves.
Yeah.
In the and they also had all the jets had cameras, like four or five cameras on the inside, and then like a bunch on the outside also, so they could film the shit in flight. So they actually did. I think they paid like $11,000 an hour or something like that, like to have these pilots like do the shit. Now some of the dogfights and stuff, I think they did use CGI for that because they didn't want, I guess because of liability and stuff, they would film like a single jet like doing all these maneuvers and then they would kind of like composite it together. But all of those actors, like when you see all their faces smush and like the high, you know, the G-force and all that kind of stuff, that is absolutely real. And they did all that shit and I was just kind of like, that is fucking crazy. Because when I was watching it, like I said, I was like, there's just no way that that's CGI. They must have really put those people in the planes because it didn't, you could tell that it wasn't fake. You know what I mean? And like, so when I looked again, I was like, oh, that's why. It wasn't fake. Yeah. They were actually like flagging this which is amazing.
Had a realistic feel inside the cockpit. They're doing G, mm-hmm. pulling G-force and negative G and shit. So it looked good. Tom can fly, though. I don't know if he could fly a fighter jet. Although a fighter jet, I believe, probably pretty easy to fly. There's a lot of software helps them fly those. But I don't think they'd just let you fly their fighter jet.
Well, no. They're like, look, we like you, Tom Cruise, but not that much. Come on, settle down.
I even think he can fly helicopters. I think. If I remember correctly. If memory serves. And choppers are a lot harder to fly than a jet fighter. But jet fighter, you better be ready for fucking speed. Fuckers are fast, man. And in this movie, they're flying them fast, low to the ground.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the mission is that they have to go. What they say, they can only fly like 100 feet off the ground or some shit like that.
It's 660 knots, I think.
Yeah, and then they have to go like, and then they have to go through this really complicated. Like I said, it's basically like the Death Star. They have to go through this really complicated like valley or whatever, and then they have to go up in this mountain and like down in the mountain and then blow up the thing and then go way up over the mountain again, like just so the other missiles can't.
They got to go down the Death Star trench.
There's
even flak guns, flak towers outside of the fucking trench. They got all that.
Yeah.
But see, I mean, they knew what they were doing.
They leaned into it. They're that's right. This is they're destroying the Death Star is what they're destroying.
I mean, it would have been, I don't know if it would have been funnier if not, or if one of the characters had said that. Like, he would have raised his hand, like, in the training mission and be like, so we're essentially, like, killing the Death Star is what we're doing. It's like, pretty much. That I don't know if that would have been funnier if I would have rolled my eyes at that.
When the first dude had to drop the bomb twice in on the target, which is just like in New Hope.
It didn't go in.
It didn't. When the first dude drop it, that's what came to mind. Nope, it didn't go in.
That's what he said.
It just impacted on the surface.
That's what he said when we were watching. Like I said, we were just making Death Star jokes. Like, we were making Death Star jokes like through the whole thing.
Fucking love A New Hope, man. They even got the fucking, even got the throat mic sound right. You know. So we're taking a lot of fire from the fucking towers.
So this is, this is essentially Star Wars, but with fighter pilots is always what it is. No, I'm just, you know, I kid. But this was actually, I kind of feel like this was a way better movie than it really needed to be. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't even think this is out on a limb, but I like this a lot better than the original movie. That's
yeah, I was gonna say, I think I saw the original in the theater and was indifferent. And then it would show up a lot on...
like, it was all right.
Yeah, I was just, it was better than Days of Thunder.
Well,
you know,
a lot of movies are better than Days of Thunder.
That was another one you had to see when it came out.
I didn't have to I refused. I think I did see it, actually. It was not on purpose.
Summertime, fucking visiting my dad in Mississippi, and fucking every weekend you had to go and see some movies.
Yeah.
You know, fucking...
Got to keep up with
the shit. You got to keep up with shit, you know? So, seeing the movies and... But no, Top Gun came out. Some of my friends down there really fucking loved it, you know. But I was like, I didn't really see what was all that special about it, you know.
It just kind of captured.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching something earlier, and they said something like,
mainstream as shit.
It was, yeah. Which, like I said, even back in 1986, I wasn't really about that.
Right.
And like I said, I'm not a big fan of movies that just have like a bunch of cocky assholes as characters, because that mainly just makes me want to punch their faces. So And this has a little bit of that, but you have, you know, the Dick Garnish character, that's what we're gonna call him. Hangman. But he's really the only one. The other ones are mostly just pretty much normal.
Yeah.
They do kind of, like, fuck with each other and stuff, but they're not as much of a jerk as he is, like, yes, I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh my God, shut up. But he, I mean, you know, he has, like, an arc, too, and he gets, like, more normal. He's probably, like, still a douche at the end, but he's, like, less of a douche. Maybe, like, 2% less.
Yeah. I don't know what Top Gun pilots are actually like. I'm ex-infantry from Airborne Infantry Divisions, and my squad leaders and a lot of my friends ended up going to fucking Ranger schools. And some of them boloed out. Some of them came back with tabs and shit. Our version of a Top Gun infantry would be a Ranger, Army Ranger. Yeah, they were dicks. But they weren't that kind of dick. They were evil. They came back kind of evil. Yeah. Kind of cross between a damn convict and something out of the SS is kind of what they were like. Evil little fuckers. We used to call them skull people because they'd come back from fucking
skull people.
Skull people. Yeah. At least coming back like a fucking skull. Because they come back out of Ranger school so fucking emaciated because it just strips so much muscle and fat off of them because they starve them, you know? And they come back cruel.
Yeah.
But experts at being a dick, you know? And being mean.
Well, see, I always kind of feel like the character of Hangman in this, and to a smaller extent, like the characters in the original movie too, I've always found in my experience that people that are like real over the top cocky like that usually can't do the shit that because they're overcompensating.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of unusual to come across somebody who can do all that cool badass shit and is still like that.
Dudes who made it through Ranger selection and went to Ranger school left fucking scared. Because they weren't scared of the school, they were scared of failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they come back and you're like, oh man, you didn't make it. They spent all that money to send you there and you fucking blow it out. You know, that kind of shit.
Fucked it up.
You never really live it down. So it's an all or nothing, you know. Back in the 90s, that's the way it was, early 90s. It was all or nothing. You either came back with a fucking Ranger tab or you didn't fucking come back. Some of those guys recycled several times. No. Let me try again. Some of them just quit. Came back in shame, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Terrible. That's the fucking hardest school. Harder than fucking physically and mentally harder than Special Forces. Special Forces is hard, too. It's longer. More intellectual and shit. Ranger's just about how much damage you can take, you know? Can you walk yourself to death? Can you go without sleep for a long, long time and pull infantry patrols and shit? It's just torture, really. It's a nut check. And they come back, they don't know anything other than what they knew before. They're just battle proven, you know,
learning their limits,
that those dudes will actually just kill themselves, basically, that they'll kill themselves to get the shit done.
Yeah,
that's all they want to know.
Camp Guy said, I didn't buy the Jennifer Connelly character as a barkeep bar owner at first, but it grew on me through the movie. Yeah, I actually did really like her. I would argue that, you know, not every movie has to have you know, a romance subplot. But the original one had it, and so they were kind of, like, getting with... And I can kind of see that they were trying to show that Maverick had, like, matured, because they kind of make a lot of implications that he had, that him and Penny, Jennifer Connelly's character, had kind of, like, hooked up at a bunch of points in the past, and he kept, like, fucking her over. And so, like, at the end, you're led to believe that he's finally got his shit together, and he's gonna stay with her now and stuff like that. So I get that, you know what I mean? It's very... Like you said, it is a very mainstream movie, but that's obviously what people like, because this was the second highest grossing movie of 2022. It made $1.5 billion, that's billion with a B, all over the world. And that's even after, like, I don't even think it got released in China, so that's, like, not without them watching it still made $1.5 billion. Do you know what, and I was kind of curious, I was like, well, what was the number one one then? It was Avatar. And I was like, really? Okay. I didn't hear as many people talking about the new Avatar movie as I did the Top Gun movie, but I guess, like, somebody went to see that shit because that made even more than $1.5 billion. So I was like, okay, fair enough. But I can see why. Like I said, I kind of feel like this struck a really good balance, I feel like, between... It had all the shit, like, you know, all the fan service that you would expect, like, if you were a fan of the first movie. Like, it had kind of, like, the camaraderie. It had, you know, a scene where they're all, like, on the beach with their shirts off, like, playing football or whatever the fuck. You know, it was volleyball in the first movie. But, you know, they had another scene like that. So it had a lot of, like, equivalent stuff. Like, you know, it had the romance thing. It had, you know, similar kind of plot beats. But I feel like it also, I thought it went a little bit deeper with the character work. I'm not going to go too far in that direction because it's not like some fucking deep character examination or anything like that. But it had a lot more emotional resonance, I feel like, than the first one did. And I think that that was, like, Tom Cruise, he actually kind of did lean into his roles. Like, I'm an older guy now. Now I've become the instructor. And he has, like, a lot of regrets in his life and shit like that. So his character was, like, a lot more, you know, he had a lot more depth or a lot more, like, interest to him, I guess, than just kind of, like, this young hotshot cocky motherfucker that was just trying to be better than the other dude.
It's a much better movie than the first one.
It is. I kind of feel like it is, which is crazy because it's, like, I feel like they had been throwing the idea of this around for so long, for, like, decades, and then everybody now, they're like, dude, it's, like, 2022. It's, like, too late. That movie's, like, so old.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting the same guy, and what the fuck is that about? But then, like, it comes out and just, like, blows everyone's socks off.
Thing is about the first Top Gun movie, I always put it in the same category as fucking Roadhouse. You know what I mean? Remember that movie fucking with Patrick Swayze, Roadhouse?
I kind of love Roadhouse.
It kind of had that tone to it.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah, I thought Top Gun was kind of cheesy and kind of kind of about nothing, really.
It was cheesy.
Not much happens in it that I think, you know what I mean? Like, they had some dogfights. I don't even think anybody got shot down. Maybe they did. I don't think they ever got. Yeah, maybe they did get some.
I barely remember what happened in the first movie. I haven't seen it
down
in a long time.
Some skirmish somewhere. There wasn't much plane action to it from what I remember. Or nothing that really stuck with me.
Because they were just students then, right? Yeah. They were like, you know.
They went to Top Gun school, and then something happened later on. They had to do something. I don't remember. The guy got killed during training, too. I just didn't think there was much to that movie at the time. Yeah. I was like, there's not much to it. This one is delivered. They're trying to do Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a
Death
big
Star run.
Crowd-pleasing.
Yeah, the Death Star.
And I
run.
Will say that, like, toward the end, and I think this is a credit to, you know, the filmmakers and the actors who were actually willing to get their asses up in a fighter jet, and, like, because I would absolutely not do that. I'm like, yeah, no, thank you. I'm quitting. But you get some other motherfucker to go up there and do that shit, because I'm not doing it. But the fact that they got everybody up there to do that, and, like, the way that they shot it and everything like that, it really kind of, like, raise the stakes. So I kind of feel like the whole third act where they're doing the mission and then, like, you know, obviously they can't just do the mission and it's successful, but then they kind of get seen by, like, the enemy planes and now they gotta, like, dogfight and then it's like some of them crash and all this other kind of stuff. So it was like, it was really, you know, you really got into it because you're just like, holy shit, look at all this fucking shit going on. And it was like really, I don't know, you're really kind of like on the edge of your seat. Even though I didn't really, I will say that I like that Tom Cruise was willing to kind of be more vulnerable. I won't say that he was like a side character, because he's not. He's absolutely the main character. But I like that he was willing to kind of, like, showcase, like, the other actors a little bit as well. Even though I kind of feel like a lot of them were a little thinly drawn, perhaps.
Grampus said that the first one had homosexual vibes. Oh, this one has got gay vibes in it, too. They homage the fucking volleyball.
Yeah.
And
yeah, although it does, it's not quite the same as, I mean,
it's not the same.
The first movie, I mean, obviously, like, I watched it and I'm like, Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer, I'm like, would you guys just kiss already? Jesus Christ.
In this one, Tom Cruise is playing volleyball and they homage the fucking famous shit. Fucking it.
I think it's football, actually. But yeah, they're on the beach.
But they do this fucking kind of the same thing where he's like,
yeah, sunset.
I love you, man. No homo. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But it wasn't as over the top as the first one.
But they know that you know about that scene.
Yeah.
And
that's what a lot of people talk about.
They talk about the whole
homoerotic thing, which, like I said, in the 80s, I kind of feel like people
went over their fucking heads.
Sometimes. I kind of feel like they weren't really aware that that's what they were doing.
Went over their heads.
Sometimes they were, but I kind of feel like they weren't. And especially
my fucking teenage buddies watched that shit, fucking love that movie. They didn't notice it.
That's what I'm saying. So I kind of feel
guys
like
didn't notice.
In the 80s, they didn't really. They're just like,
yeah,
that's badass. That's macho as shit.
I was at the time,
just like,
I was going like, man, those dudes need to fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
That's gay.
And that's the first time I saw it. I was like, I just was like, why don't they kiss? They clearly love each other. Well, yeah, because that's the thing about the original, like the whole romance thing with Kelly McGillis, I remember not really buying that. Because I kind of feel like the chemistry was a lot, you know, was a lot more pronounced, like between him and Val Kilmer's character, between Iceman. Now we have to say that Val Kilmer, he reprises his role as Iceman in this movie. He's only in one scene. Obviously, you know, Val Kilmer had throat cancer, and he's apparently beaten it, I guess, but he can't really talk that much anymore. So they kind of used that in the movie, like, because in the movie, his character, who's, he's like an admiral, right? Yeah. And he's kind of been, like, over the 30 years between the two movies, he's kind of, like, gone to bat for Maverick and, like, got him jobs and stuff and kept him from getting court-martialed or whatever for all the fucking shenanigans he pulls. But I like that they kind of leaned into, because everybody knows that Val Kilmer, everybody knows about his struggle with cancer and everybody knows about that kind of stuff. So they actually kind of wrote that into the movie, where he has cancer in the movie and he can't really talk and he's dying and stuff like that. And there's, like, a really nice scene between between Maverick and Iceman where he goes to see him and he's like asking about the shit.
Granter's noticed something about the movie that, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Did you notice Tom Cruise's name wasn't in the opening credits? Is that because he's too big at this point to be lumped with the cast?
Yeah. You know, probably. He's in this fucking movie. You
yeah,
know
he's like, we movie. Don't need to tell people. To tell obviously. People. Yeah, yeah. I'm Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
I'm
Tom motherfucking
Cruise. Tom motherfucking
Cruise. I don't even want my name on there.
Well, he was a producer on this as well.
Fucking Tom Cruise, man.
And I feel like, well, like I said, this took a long time to get released because they were working on this for a few years and then, you know, there was pandemic and then they were like, well, then it got pushed back more because they wanted to, like, make the flying sequences better, like, they were really complicated. And Tom Cruise was pretty adamant about making this, like I said, pretty much like the perfect movie. He wanted this to be as good as possible. And even though he got like a bunch of offers to, like, from streaming services like Paramount Plus and stuff like that, and they're just like, hey, we want to like show this fucking movie, but he wouldn't do it. He's like, this has to be a theater movie. Yeah. So he like pushed really hard for it being theater only. So they had to like push it back like several years.
It was a hell of a fucking gamble. Paid off, though.
It was. It really did pay off. And the thing about it is Tom Cruise, I mean, he gets a portion of that's in his contract, yeah, where he gets say, like, a portion of that.
Say what you want about Tom, you know what I mean, the Scientology and his couch jumping and shit like that. Tom fucking delivers. Tom Cruise
He does.
Delivers.
I will give him that.
Yeah.
As like I said, as and I said this before, I said as douchey as he probably is in person, when you go see a Tom Cruise movie, he never phones that shit in.
Yeah.
He always learns to do the shit. Yeah. You know, in the but he really rides motorcycles. He really flies in jet planes. He really like hangs off the side of mountains. Yeah. He really does all that shit. Yeah. So, you know, I mad respect for him for doing that. Like I said, I don't like him as a person. I don't like that Scientology bullshit. But he will always give like a crowd pleasing movie, and he never just like phones that shit in. Yeah. Like he always gives it 110%.
Now, to witnesses in Scientology that know him, like high ranking Scientology people that have defected, he's not douchey. He's described as diabolical. That's what he really is. He's diabolical.
Which, like I said, that does not surprise me in the least. Because that's how he's always come across to me.
Yeah.
He's always, and I think that's what kind of like turned me off him, like from his early movies. That's why I didn't really get into his early movies either, like Risky Business or all that kind of stuff. Because I'm like, I don't like that over-the-top, cocky, like, I'm so confident. Oh, you love me, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, I hate that kind
of shit. He's real manipulative. And kind of cruel. Mm. And fucking, he treats other people in Scientology who are lower ranker than him. It's like a paramilitary type situation. I understand what he's doing, but it's supposed to be a religion. It's not, you're not in the fucking Army Rangers or the Navy SEALs, you know what I mean? But fucking, basically getting people to drop and do push-ups and just the same kind of mentality.
Right, it is, yeah.
You know, fuck you, go back to the barracks, or punishing people and shit. You know, he's diabolical. I grew up with it. Being military and military schools going back, it's just normal. And it was never really, most of the time, it was never really mean-spirited. But they say he's diabolical.
Like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Especially knowing as much as I know about Scientology and having had to deal with them, like, in my workplace, like, a while back.
Yeah.
I know what they're like, and I know what the kind of people that it produces. So I could totally see, like, how that would come out.
He may not like Scientologists, actually, because he's friends with David Miscavige. And David Miscavige, the guy who the CEO, what do they call it, the COB? The guy who runs Scientology?
Chairman
hates Scientologists. Yeah, he hates fucking Scientologists. He thinks they're fucking idiots. And he treats him accordingly.
Well, that's the only thing that he said that we can agree on. Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying, now, as I said before, I'm not, like, if you were born into Scientology, yeah, then, man, get the fuck out of there. Yeah. One, that's not your fault. You don't know any different. But people that join it later, I'm just like, I don't understand why anybody would want to do that. That's, especially now that we know, it's like, you know, it might have been easier to fall for it back in the day, like when you didn't know.
And
before
the internet.
Before the internet, and like you got sucked into it and everything, but nowadays there's no excuse. It's like nobody needs to get into that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's a UFO cult.
Essentially, that's going to take all your money.
Yeah, that teaches you, tries to teach you fucking psychic abilities, like a force or something. They call
it we made a lot of OT Powers jokes while we were watching this too. Right. Like, and like I said, it's a good movie, but it's like, because I'm such a big fan, because I've watched Mystery Science Theater for so many years, it's reflexive. I can't watch a movie. Even if I love the movie, I just keep making, like, snarky comments about it. I can't help it. I can't help it. Grantham said, Kelly McGillis has not aged well, poor thing. That's what I heard. I haven't seen her recently, you know, because she hasn't been in anything for a while.
I don't remember who that is.
She was in the original Top Gun.
I don't remember.
She was the blonde that was like the main love interest. She was like the instructor.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know what she looks like now, but yeah, I've heard that she didn't like.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of hotties that are still around, but you'll never see them again because they look terrible. Now there was somebody pointed one out to me, and I was like, man, that's her. You know, I can't remember who it was. Man, I think we talked about it on the show earlier. It's another one of the blondes. It was worth a lot of money in the movies. She's totally unrecognizable. Totally.
Shit, now I can't remember who we were talking about.
Yeah, I think we talked about her before.
We were talking about... the only blonde I remember mentioning to you in the last few days was Brigitte Nielsen.
No, not her.
Camp Guy said, we just watched this on streaming.
I remember who it was.
Who?
Bridget Fonda.
Oh, right.
Totally unrecognizable. And that girl was a knockout. And like La Femme Nikita. You see her now.
She was in everything in the 90s, I feel like. She was all over the
place. I had a hard time wrapping my mind around that was the same woman. But it was her.
Yikes. That's right. You showed me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, man, that sucks.
Bridget Fonda.
That sucks. Yeah, because she was in all kind of... Yeah. We still haven't reviewed Single White Female, have we?
No, I don't think so, no.
Man, I love Single White Female. That's such a great fucking movie. that was her and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Grantham says, the reason why people liked it is because it was fun and people want to have fun watching a movie. Yeah, I kind of feel like this was just like a purely, it's not super deep or nothing like that. It was just kind of like, it was a amazing like visual spectacle, and it had like enough of depth to the story that you kind of got into the characters, you got emotionally invested. It was just a good time. It was just really like entertaining, you know what I mean? Just a very simple, entertaining kind of movie, which, like you said, I kind of feel like they made a lot of those back in the 80s and maybe not so much anymore, but I don't know. I kind of feel like they do still make a lot of movies like that. I feel like a lot of the Marvel movies are kind of like that, where they're just kind of like big, dumb fun. Grantham's Hammer says, Tom Cruise is the Bruce Springsteen of movies, goes balls out for every performance. Yeah. He does, and like I said, I do respect him for that. There's a lot of things I don't like about him, but... And I don't... As a rule, I don't usually kind of like... be like, ooh, new Tom Cruise movie is out, we should go see that, because he's usually in like these big, like I said, like big blockbuster type movies, and I tend to not like those, with some exceptions.
I like them because that's a genre.
Yeah, and but you know what I'm talking
they're
about.
They're generic, but they're usually fun for me.
Yeah, I don't sometimes take them. I'm in the mood for that. Yeah.
I was big into Oblivion, but the Collateral was really good.
I liked Collateral, yeah.
Yeah, those were kind of like his... kind of cult classic type movies in a way. They were big movies, but they weren't aimed at a mainstream kind of audience. Fucking the Mission Impossible series, they're all good. They're all movies of their times. But I think I've seen them all except maybe the very newest one. I don't know. I think that another one came out recently. I gotta go.
I remember we saw Fallout, Mission Impossible Fallout in the theater.
Yeah,
and I liked that. That was good.
Rogue
I don't remember.
Nation and then Fallout or Fallout Rogue Nation or I don't remember.
I think was Rogue Nation first. I don't think we saw that one though.
Every bit as good as a Daniel Craig, James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Tom fucking delivered and all that shit. The first one was a John Woo movie. It had the kind of cheesy fucking 90s kung fu.
Right,
even
yeah.
That was, for the day, it doesn't really hold up, if you ask me.
Yeah, I didn't think it held up.
It didn't held up, but in its day, it was quite cool. It was, but the whole series is good, real good. And the newer ones, I think, are fantastic. No, Tom doesn't really... Even his fucking flop, The Mummy, I liked it.
I did not.
I liked it. It was just a big, dumb monster movie with a head fucking...
It was that, for sure.
Yeah, it had all the monsters in it. It was kind of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and fucking The Mummy was fucking blowing up whole fucking cities with sandstorms and...
As mummies
faces
do.
In it. Yeah, just crazy shit, man. I liked it. But they'll never make another one because it flopped. They were going to make a whole series, a whole universe based on
They still kind of did that, but they just went a different direction. Because they made Invisible Man, with Elizabeth Moss. But they just, went, a more indie movie direction or, more art house kind of, which I am more in favor of that. Because, like I said, The Mummy, I don't think... that they needed to make another big budget movie, because they already did those, with the Brendan Fraser series, those adventure movies. I think that was good, but, those were fun. But I don't think we needed more of that. I think if you were going to remake The Mummy, make it more like the original, the Boris Karloff one, more of a mystery or that.
Some
of
those characters in that were really good. Russell Crowe as fucking Dr. Jekyll, man, that was a fucking badass scene. And we started slipping into Mr. Hyde. I was slipping right along with him. I was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's how Tom do.
That's how I go. And wait a minute, hold on, where am I going now? Oh, shit.
That's how Tom do.
Mr. Hyde, I liked it, man. I could have watched a whole movie of Russell Crowe.
See, I kind of wish the whole movie had been...
Russell Crowe's kicking
had been
ass.
Russell Crowe as Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Although you could argue that one movie that we saw with Russell Crowe doing that fucking road rage crazy shit, remember that?
That's pretty good.
You could argue that was a whole Mr. Hyde.
That's pretty good.
Evidently, I actually did like that.
He's coming out with an Exorcist movie. I think it's this month.
Well, based on The Exorcist,
I think,
or just an Exorcist?
It's called The Vatican's Exorcist, I think, or the Pope's
Exorcist. Oh, so that's probably... Oh, I know what that's about then.
It's about the original case, I think. So it's kind of like
all right, you got my attention. I might.
Yeah,
watch
he's doing a promotional tour on YouTube. The ads are coming up, and he's talking about it. It looked good, man, real good. Russell Crowe plays the Exorcist.
Yeah, we might have to see that actually.
Yeah,
Granthers also says you guys are the Tom Cruise of podcasts. Always give it your best, always prepared, and never suffer the fools.
Yeah, but it's like The Mummy; it's always a flop, man. We need 100,000
and always
subscribers.
Prepared. I'm not sure. I try to be prepared, but sometimes it's sometimes I start the show and I'm just kind of oh shit, do I know what I'm talking about? Probably not.
Yeah.
Granther said Bridget Fonda had a car wreck several years ago and then gained 150 pounds. Yeah, see, that's pretty shitty. Fourth Row Down said I liked Edge of Tomorrow too. Yeah, I also really liked that.
Which one was that?
We saw
the one where they were replaying it.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. I also liked Oblivion.
Yeah, and that was the same director as Top Gun Maverick.
Okay,
so, and I think that's where Joseph Kosinski, the guy that directed Top Gun Maverick, I think that was where he met Tom Cruise, was when they did Oblivion. Granther's Hammer also says, Rock of Ages was stupid, and he added to the stupidity. What movie was that?
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember that one either. Was that another Tom Cruise movie? Because I don't remember that one. Yeah, The Pope's Exorcist.
The Pope's Exorcist. That's what it's called.
Yeah. That'd probably be good, I feel like.
The trailers look good.
Okay, I'm going to have to go watch the trailer.
Russell Crowe does an interview about this movie in the trailer. He's referring to it. His professional opinion on this movie, I guess.
Meta.
Yeah, it's all meta.
That's a little
but
weird.
But it looked good. It looked, we'll see,
All right.
Basically, it's a reboot of The Exorcist. Based on the case that The
but
Exorcist
But it's based
was,
on... Well, see, now yeah, that's
it's
kind
a little
of
boy.
Interesting
it's
to
not
me.
A, it's a little boy. It's not a girl.
Because I feel like there have been... One, there have been 40 bajillion exorcism movies.
Yeah.
And, I'm kind of... It's kind of like zombie movies at this point, where it's I have fatigue about that subgenre. But I kind of feel like they haven't... No one's made a movie based on the actual case. Have they?
Well, they're leading me to believe that that's what it is based upon the trailer. It may not be based upon the actual case or just loosely based
Roland
on...
Like Roland Doe
It looks like something out of the...
Robbie Mannheim or
It almost looks
they
like something
them.
Out of the Conjuring universe.
Okay.
It's what it looked like. But it looked high-end.
All right.
Looked good.
We could probably see that.
Just
It'll be on streaming eventually. Yeah. We never go to the theater anymore, sadly.
It's too far.
I know, it's too far. We live out in the middle of fucking nowhere now. Yeah. So it's just kind of like...
They'll never build a theater around here.
Probably not. There's not enough people.
Not the market.
I mean, I do like seeing stuff in the theater. And like I said, I kind of wish I had seen this in the theater. You know, it's, don't get me wrong, it's still, like, pretty amazing, like, on our, you know, big screen TV, but...
One day I'll get
and with the sound bar. One day but I kind of feel like seeing this, like, in IMAX or something like that, that would have been fucking mind-blowing. Yeah. Although, probably, I told him while we were watching it, like, during all the flight sequences and stuff, I said, you know, if we'd seen this in the theater, I probably would have thrown up in my lap. Because of all the fucking... Ugh.
One of these days, I'll go down to Sam's and when we have the money, and I'll get a fucking huge one.
Take up the whole wall.
Yeah, like almost the whole wall. The bedroom will be a movie theater.
Okay.
Imagine the porn.
I don't need to see porn that big.
Okay, all right. Dick the size of a Volkswagen butt.
I don't need to see everybody's pores and all that. It's pretty gross. It's funny. Like, see all their ingrown hairs and all that.
HD and shit.
Nose hairs. It's like, look, they've got a booger.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you want to go ahead and make it a wrap?
Yeah, hold on. He says okay. Rock of Ages. That's a movie I asked about. He said Tom Cruise played Stacy Jacks, a ripoff of Axl Rose, in this stinky turd of a movie.
Oh, I
okay, now I have to see it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Year did that come out?
2000.
Man, did they, like, bury it? Because it was like, 2000. I don't even remember hearing about that one.
Was it a comedy? That's what I wanted to know. Sounds like a comedy.
I mean, Tom Cruise can do comedy, right? Like, sometimes, but he doesn't usually. I kind of feel like action movies are his kind
The worst of bread one and butter. I remember is one where he's playing a bartender.
Cocktail.
That shit was stupid.
I think I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, actually. I think that was targeted towards women.
Well, I'm a woman and I didn't like
it. You didn't like it either, yeah. No. I didn't like it. I can barely remember it. I erased it from my mind.
Like I said, all I can remember was Tom Cruise, like, smirking and... flinging drinks around and stuff, and I was the only impression I was left.
Might have been Tom Cruise's response to Coyote Ugly or something.
I thought Coyote Ugly came out, like, after that, though. Because Cocktail was... That's old. Yeah. I mean, that came out of what, like, 87? 88? Something like that.
Late 80s.
I think it was 87.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember not really liking it all that much. Because, like, it was right, just kind of...
Coyote Ugly was, like, early 90s.
Yeah, like, I kind of feel like that was like, a 90s
film. Yeah, I think it was, like, 92, yeah.
So, if anything, Coyote Ugly might have been ripping off Cocktail.
Yeah, it may have been.
Which is crazy. I don't really know. I don't think I saw Coyote Ugly, actually.
He was great in Rain Man.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was great in
Rain Man. Like I said, and we've said this before, he can act. I'm not saying that.
He can do shit.
But it's just most of the time he just chooses to be in...
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to be, like, smug motherfucker, TM. That's kind of like his entire character, you know?
Imagine if Tom Cruise got the role of Batman. Batman.
I'm imagining
5'5" Batman.
I mean, don't, you know.
Oh shit, here we go.
Grother says, thank you to rent Rock of Ages, just don't hate me afterward.
Yeah. You can probably see that for free.
I mean, I could have like a really good time with that, I feel like. I mean, if it's as bad as you say, then I'm kind of like looking forward to it because I think that'd be good.
Okay. All right.
Now I'm, like I said, now I'm really curious. Now I want to see it. Because I feel like everybody, like, and now, nowadays, like, every time he's in a movie, everyone's, like, you know, creaming themselves over, like, how awesome it is. Yeah. So, you know, he's really having kind of, like, a renaissance, even though he's in his fucking 60s now, right?
Which,
you
know.
I think he is, yeah. Yeah, I think he's 66.
What's funny about him is that he doesn't look like an old guy. He looks like a young guy that's old. That's a weird thing about it.
Yeah, that's what we were saying when we were watching.
He doesn't look like an old guy. He looks like a young guy who happens to be old. It's, like, a weird kind of.
Because in this,
his hair is too dark, and a guy his age doesn't have hair that thick. It's just he's at the point where he's gonna have to start playing an older guy or to look like an older guy. It's starting to look kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. It's just
I thought in this his face he looks good, but I thought his face looked a little bloated.
Yeah,
like he had had like some surgery and it hadn't really taken
something
exactly
something. He looks good from certain angles, and other angles he doesn't quite look as good.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself that maybe they should have, like, not done any close-ups, is what I was thinking. Because he looks good from, like, kind of middle distance.
I think it's the hair.
The hair might not be helping.
That's the hair of a young man.
Yeah.
He needs to have the hair of a 60-year-old if he's going to have hair, or just shave himself fucking bald.
Yeah.
It looks a lot age appropriate. To have a fucking full set of dark hair, you know that shit's fake at 60. At 60, your hair's going to be fucking
salt and pepper.
I mean, it's
not quite like Steven Seagal level, but where he just like paints it on with shellac or whatever it is that he does.
Now, in their defense, it's like, well, it's the movies. It's fantasy, you know.
Okay.
But I'm just going nuts. Hair plugs, man. And hair plugs are fucking.
And somebody asked, I was reading a review of it, and they were wondering about the age difference between him and Jennifer Connelly. It's not that much. Like I said, she's 51, I think, and he's 66. So that's not terrible. She looks a lot younger than him, I will give that. But she's actually not. I mean, she's significantly younger than him, but not weirdly younger than him.
Some women can hold it together for a long, long time. Look at Cassandra Peterson. She's 70-something. She's fine.
Yeah.
She looks fine.
Tom would still hit that.
Oh, I'd hit it. Everybody else would hit it, too. You'd hit that shit.
I probably would, yeah.
Yeah, she's cute. So is old, what's her name? Fucking Barbara...
Barbara Crampton.
Barbara Crampton. She's 60-something.
Man, she looks fantastic.
She's hot, yeah. Not all women look fucked up when they get old. Just like guys, you know. Not all of them look fucked up. Some look all right. But it's going to take work. You know, the metabolism just doesn't want to do that. You're going to need supplementation and training and surgeries, little nips and tucks here and little adjustments every now and then just to keep up with things. And you can look good for a long, long time. But, you know, if you look at Cassandra Peterson, also known as Elvira, that girl's not natural. You know, that's not natural. That's implants and facial surgeries and hormones and, you know, staying fit and... But still, it pays off. You know, she's still got a career. She can dress up like fucking Elvira and look just like the Elvira pretty much of the 70s or the 80s when she was on television. It'd be just as sexy.
Yeah, because we just saw her on the... Because they did a thing on Shudder just a few months ago and she was on there.
Mela Nurmi couldn't do that. Vampira. She's copying Mela Nurmi, Vampira. She couldn't do that at 60. She was a hag at 60. You know?
Well, in their defense, they didn't really have a lot of the same knowledge back then and a lot of the same access to shit that we have
now. I don't think Mela had the money. I think she died selling handmade jewelry on welfare up in her...
Yeah, which is sad because she's like such an icon nowadays that it's...
They drank a lot and they smoked a lot.
That too.
And they,
that didn't help.
Right.
And the diet wasn't great.
Yeah.
American Military 100 said the Pope's exorcist is based on the Vatican's chief exorcist who claimed to have performed thousands of exorcisms and kept detailed records.
Okay.
So it's not actually about the that specific case.
All right, that case wasn't one of them, evidently.
Granther says, my wife is 13 years younger than me. No complaints.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's, like, not weird.
No. 15 or... Some guys in their 50s marry the second wife, and the second wife's 20 years younger. That happens, too. Now, you know. They may only be together for 10, 15 years. It depends on the situation. Just, you know. I think Steve's wife is nearly 20 years younger than him. Our friend Steve. You know.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
She's fucking giving him three kids in a period. I think two or three kids in a period of just like 3 or 4 years.
I know when he visited, they had just had a kid. But I think that was their first one, and that's been a few years.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they've had any other ones.
I think he's got a three now.
Well, shit. That escalated quickly, didn't it?
He's putting a dent in it, man.
Having all kind of little things running around. All right. So, we're going to wrap this up. You know, if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch Top Gun Maverick. Absolutely worth watching. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of the first movie, but I actually really liked this one. It was pretty entertaining. And all the flight stuff was, like, amazing. So you can just watch it for that because that's fucking incredible, no matter if you like the movie or not. So tomorrow is Monday, and that means it's a Haunting Mondays. I think we're going to go back to season 2 and discuss The Attic because... No, that's season 3. Season 3. Episode 2. That's why I got confused. Because I think we watched it a while back, and we were going to do a show about it, and I don't think we ever did. So I think that's one of the ones that... from the first 4 seasons that we haven't covered yet. So that's probably the one that we're going to do. I'll let you know if anything changes, but yeah. All right. So hopefully you guys can join us for that tomorrow evening at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And thanks for dropping by today. Thanks for the Money to Rent Rock of Ages, because now I really want to see that. I'm like super curious. We will see you guys again tomorrow night. Good night.